And welcome to Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, and we're waging the worldview war on this program. We're on the front lines now, fighting for faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. And folks, there is a worldview war going on. Don't kid yourself. Just, you know, a lot of people don't know there's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and they're wearing their milk-bone jumpsuit. That's a bad idea, my friends. And a lot of it is because they don't understand that this is a war. There's a war of ideas, and the devil understands this. He's got his guns on rapid fire, and he's got your children in his sights. Indeed, folks, there's a war of ideas that goes on all the time. And unless we as parents are aware of this thing, unless we're aware of the fact there is a battle going on over the souls and the minds of our children are going to be taken in this worldview war, and they're going to be carved up and spit out by this thing. Again, we want to talk about the worldview war today on this program. And, you know, most people live as existentialists, but they've never read John Paul Sartre. They understand. They live that way, but they don't read it. Most people live as egalitarians, both gender and economic egalitarians, but they've really never read or studied Marx. Why is this? I tell you why. It's because smarter people have studied these guys and set up the institutions that we all live with. And then we all just accept those institutions without any question. And then after a while, you get a world where 37% of children are born without fathers, up from 6% 40 years ago, and half of marriages end in divorce, and half of our income is taxed, and the nation becomes the biggest debtor nation on the face of the earth. And we wonder, what happened? What happened to this thing? Well, ideas have consequences, my friends. And most people just accept these consequences. They think they're supposed to live in a world that's all screwed up. But the problem is, they don't understand what is good. They don't understand what is right. They don't understand the worldviews they've already accepted. Ideas have consequences. You need to understand, my friends, there's an idea war going on right now. And there's a war been going on for a long time. It's a world of ideas. Good ideas and evil ideas, and good ideas produce good things, and evil ideas produce evil things. And a lot of people think, you know, stuff happens. You heard the phrase, stuff happens. Shows up on bumper stickers a lot. You seen that, Dave? Stuff happens, right? And there it is. Stuff happens, and they just think it happens by chance. In a chance world, things just sort of happen, you know? I mean, we wound up with a world where 37% of children are born without fathers, up from 6%. Well, I'll tell you, folks, there's a reason why that happened. There's a reason why that happened. Ideas have consequences. And in just a moment, we're going to talk about those ideas, those powerful ideas, those worldview ideas that create the world that you live in. And if you can understand these things, you're going to start to understand how we got here. And you're going to start to understand what are the ideas that produce a good world. And what are those ideas that produce an evil world and the evils that sometimes consume. In just a moment, Dr. David Noble is with us from Summit Ministries. It's a worldview ministry. It's been around for about 42 years, right in our backyard out here in Colorado. Dr. David Noble will join me on Generations next.
Ladies and gentlemen, Generations with Kevin Swanson and Christian Home Educators of Colorado present the 2007 Family Conference. Join thousands of parents and teens at this family conference featuring hundreds of workshops on homeschooling in the family. And for the very first time, the 2007 conference will host an unprecedented lineup of the nation's best worldview speakers for an all-day worldview super conference, including Dr. David Noble from Summit Ministries and Kevin Swanson with Generations Radio. Equip your family on the defining worldview issue of our day with the renowned Australian creationist Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Conference 2007 is coming up in Denver on June 14th through the 16th. For more information, go to chec.org or call 1-877-842-CHECK today. Make a lasting investment in your family's relationships, worldview, and educational vision. Register for the Conference 2007 now at chec.org.
Welcome back to Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson here with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators. But with me on the air today is Dr. David Noble from Summit Ministries. And boy, you guys have been around for a long time. 45 years you've been training young folks up there in Manitou Springs, Dr. Noble.
That's right, Kevin, and it's hard to believe, and I have to tell my wife once in a while, hey, we've been here a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to us a little bit about the ministry there. You're equipping young folks by the thousands, and you've been doing it for 45 years. You equip them in worldview.
Yes, we do. We try to establish at least one foot into the Christian worldview so they understand that. And even though we get a lot of good students, Kevin, it's amazing how many do not even know there is such a thing as a Christian worldview. And then we expose them to the other basic worldviews that are vying for their attention. Our contention still is, even though there are some major worldviews out there, the one that is really the most serious and the one that's most damaging to our Christian young people is still the secular humanist worldview.
Yeah.
So we make sure that they understand what Christianity is in theology, philosophy, ethics, biology, psychology, sociology, law, economics, politics, and history. Those are the 10 key areas that we cover. And then we look at the same 10 categories in the secular humanist worldview, the Marxist worldview, the New Age worldview, the Islamic worldview, and the postmodern worldview. So it's a quite a cover, and it's a two-week program down here in Manitou Springs. But remember, we're also in Ohio, Tennessee, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa.
Right. Your ministry is critical. You're equipping young people in the worldview war, because there is a war of ideas going on right now. I've had a number of discussions with some humanists that listen to this program, some secular humanists, and they don't really like what they hear, but they don't seem to understand that we're starting with a different idea of what is truth and how to test truth and our perception of reality. And I keep coming back to them and saying, guys, we've got different worldviews here. And of course we're going to come up with different ideas in relation to family and sociology and politics and psychology and all the rest. How do you teach folks that worldviews are fundamental issues, and how do you define worldview?
Well, I just basically gave you a good definition. A worldview is a bundle of ideas that speaks to the 10 areas that I just enumerated.
Yeah.
So a worldview will have a theology. Now, there's the first difference right there. We believe God exists. The secular humanist says God does not exist. The Marxist says God does not exist. The postmodern crowd says God does not exist. So obviously, right at the very start on the theological level, there is this great difference. But Kevin, don't let the secular humanist pull a Dawkins on you either, because they want you to believe that science is their God and we just have faith. And that faith is, of course, superstitious from their point of view as well.
Right.
The truth is, the very origins of modern science were steeped in the Christian worldview, not the atheistic secular humanist worldview.
Right, right. What do you think makes one worldview better than the other, and how do you explain that to the students?
I contend that it's just a matter of truth.
Yeah.
And we have to decide, does God exist or does God not exist? Now, how do you do that? Well, how about using science to begin with? Because that's always a good neutral subject, huh?
Yeah.
Start with science. Now, come on. Science is explaining the cell. Let's start with the cell. And you go into the details of the cell. You use a Michael Behe, for example. And by the way, his latest on Darwin's Black Box is just out. The 10th of the anniversary edition is just out. And the last section is just page after page after page of defining the cell itself. Well, how does that cell function? What makes that cell function? What is DNA? What are all these little gates doing in this cell? And then you just have to ask yourself, and you ask the students, now look, did this just happen by chance? That's really what it boils down to. Or do you see design there as well? And then I have a whole list of people who say, hey, I've looked at this thing. It's designed from one end to the other. So that's one way to start. Obviously, if you're a Christian, you believe in revelation, but obviously our opponents don't. Just the very nature of truth itself. I believe it's corresponding to fact. And I believe that the sun is a fact. The moon is a fact. The stars are a fact. Male and female are facts. And when you look at all of this and you put it into the revelational content of Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, it's pretty obvious that that's the very context that we live in even today.
Yeah. Let's talk about ideas and their consequences. I don't know who said it. Ideas have consequences. It's one of those, obvious, intuitive points. But let's look at what's happening in our world and show folks that these things are really attached to the belief system and the ideas that people bring to the world. And I'd like to kind of run through a number of the things that we're looking at. We're living in a world right now where 37% of children are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. Half of marriages end in divorce. 95% of people get married, confess to premarital sex, et cetera, et cetera. These numbers are up. I mean, way up over the last 40 to 50 years. These things don't just happen. Dr. Noble, why don't you get into the ideas that sort of produce these consequences? Can you give a little bit of the why here?
Well, you started out by ideas have consequences. Before that expression, we have to admit that ideas rule the world. And then after your expression, we have to admit bad ideas have bad consequences.
Yeah.
I think if you go in 1, 2, and 3, ideas rule the world, ideas have consequences, bad ideas have bad consequences, just about everything that you brought up there will make sense. We are experiencing in the 20th and the 21st century the ideas of the 19th century. We're talking about Marx. We're talking about Darwin. We're talking about Freud. We're talking about Nietzsche. And then into the 20th century, we're talking about Dewey, and we're talking about Margaret Sanger.
Yeah.
Now, she is a missing link in this thing, and no one wants to admit it. Margaret Sanger isn't just the founder of Planned Parenthood. She was the American representative of the whole eugenics movement in this country. Adolf Hitler sent some of his key people to this country to contact her to find out what she was doing. And, of course, she picked up eugenics from Charles Darwin's cousin, Galton, in England.
Yeah.
So all of these are just ideas that foment into the culture itself. I contend that there are about 25 key ideas in the mix, in the stew.
Okay.
I tell the kids, look, you put a pot on the stove, fill it half full of water, and then just throw in about 25 key ideas, mix that thing up, and then start to drink it, and you will have the consequences of the 20th and the 21st century. And the consequences of the 20th century, because of the ideas of the 19th century, resulted in the greatest slaughter of all human history. That's even above what you were talking about. I mean, of course the families are going down the drain. Of course divorce is up. Of course kids are being born out of wedlock. In fact, in some communities, it's nearly 90%.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to go back and see, where do these things come from? Why do we have such a slaughter in the 20th century? My contention is that was the result of the ideas of the 19th century, and not one of those ideas, Kevin, was a Christian idea.
They were
all atheistic, they were Marxistic, they were Darwinian type of ideas.
You're talking about Darwin, and why does Darwin result in a world where 37% of children are born without fathers?
Well, it's just not maybe Darwin. It's
yeah.
just the whole mix.
Okay.
The Marx declared war on the family. If you read the Communist Manifesto, he declared war on what he called the bourgeois family. Well, the bourgeois family turned out to be father, mother, and child.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of denigrating the family goes way back in those early times. Not that Darwin himself was responsible for the destruction of the family, but Marx certainly was involved. And then you add Nietzsche. And you add Freud, come on, and then you start mixing these ideas, and that's the consequence that you're coming up with.
You got a recipe for disaster, don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. In fact, when you throw those ideas into that cooking pot, that is the recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Now let's talk Columbine and, of course, Virginia Tech. Are these things random occurrences where you've gotten more crazies today slaughtering dozens of people in public places than you had in the 1950s and 60s by a long shot? I think Time magazine just did a little graph showing where all these mass slaughters are happening, and a lot of them are happening in schools. But are these things, do you think, connected to some of these ideas? Obviously, crazy guys doing these things. But we've also got a society where 1.5 million babies are being slaughtered every year in the womb. So you've got a disrespect for life. Certainly nobody's teaching the fear of God and the respect of his image anymore in the public schools. Do you make these connections yourself?
Of course I do. And just go back to Columbine. What was on the shirt of those two murderers?
Survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest and natural selection.
Yeah.
Right straight from Darwin. That is Darwin. You talk about a connection with Darwin. And when you read Darwin's Origin of Species by means of natural selection, you'll find in the last few pages where he says that all of reality is nothing but war. It's a war of nature. It's a war of natural selection. It's a matter of getting rid of the least available on planet Earth. In other words, if they can't survive, it's their fault, and we just wipe them out. You start putting those ideas in the minds and the heads of our kids. And remember, much of this goes on through Hitler. And I remember a few, a couple of months ago, Ann Coulter said she had 12 years of public school. She had 4 years of college at Cornell. She had 3 years of law school at the University of Michigan, and she never heard once that there was a relationship between Darwin and Adolf Hitler's ovens. I thought that was really quite striking. And by the way, it wasn't just Hitler. It was Stalin and Mussolini. The three basic people that gave us Nazism, fascism, and communism were all hardcore Darwinianists.
Yeah.
Well, let's move along. Folks, today talking about ideas and their consequences, worldviews really do produce the world that you live in today. And, David, let's look at environmentalism. That's a new ism that is really starting to take over. Global warming shows up on the front page of Time magazine just about every other issue these days, it seems like. What's going on with that? Why do we have this environmentalism that is just pretty much dominating the way people live their lives today?
Well, obviously, from a Christian perspective, I am an environmentalist. I believe that God gave us the earth to enjoy and to take care of. So by that definition, I'm an environmentalist. I don't want to see beer cans coming down our streams here and right outside of Manitou Springs. So in that sense, I contend with the best of them that I am an environmentalist. But these guys that are pushing, what is this thing with global warming? And by the way, did you notice just in the last few weeks they've changed the expression from global warming to climate change? Okay. You know, the moment they did that, they were in big doo-doo, because basically climate change can mean global warming or global cooling. And just 30 years ago, the rage was global cooling.
Yeah.
So they are going from global cooling 30 years ago to today that's called global warming. When I analyze that, how do I analyze that? First of all, I say Al Gore. Al Gore is not a scientist, so Al Gore is a politician. So therefore, there has to be something political about this whole thing.
But he was the genius that invented the Internet.
Yes.
Throw that in, too.
And then you throw the United Nations in there. The United Nations is an organization that is anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-Israel, pro-socialist, and pro-communist, and pro a lot of other nonsense stuff. And I'm saying to myself, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And to me, I think it's really obvious, and I think you're going to see it in the next few years. When they start calling for a carbon tax, Kevin, you'll know what's up. A carbon tax is to port the United Nations, and that is a means of dictating a lot of things in the countries of the world. They needed a worldwide scare to force people into what they consider to be the answer, which is global government.
Yeah, and now this is the centralizing of power. Which is what has been happening for the last 100 years at least, where you've got the federal government in America centralizing power just about every imaginable area of life. Think of the Department of Education, didn't exist in 1973. Now it's exponentially growing just about every year. So there has been this increased centralizing of power in centralized areas, and now we're wanting to move some of our sovereignty over to the United Nations, over to world government in some form or fashion.
I'm sure this is the essence of it. And by the way, in the last few days, Mars is heating up, Jupiter is heating up, other planets are heating up, and we're saying that this is caused by something that it's America's fault, you know that to begin with.
Yeah.
So something in America is the fault for global warming. I say that is nonsense, and you will not find too many capitalistic pigs on Mars causing Mars to warm up.
Yeah.
So you just know there's something big behind this. And by the way, those who are contrary to this, they're being threatened with their lives.
Mm.
I just read where one of the guys from England who helped put up this work on, I think, Channel 4 in London, they've been threatened with their lives because they're just giving the other side of the coin. They're just saying, well, look, not all scientists agree with this. Here's this scientist, and so forth. And those guys are the ones that are going to have bodyguards before too long.
Well, you know, you've got two different worldviews functioning here, David. You've got our founders who are saying absolute power corrupts absolutely. We got to have a balance of powers here. We certainly don't want to centralize power. But now, the last 100 years, you have people wanting to centralize power and wanting to put as much power as possible in federal governments and in a world governments. Why? Here again, we're getting back to the question of why. Why the worldview shift? What is it that makes these guys want to centralize power and put the control of individuals and families and communities under some mega power out there? Why the desire to centralize power?
I think the answer goes back to the 19th century ideas of Marx and Darwin and Freud and Nietzsche and those guys, that they argued that there is no God. There is no God, and therefore we as human beings have the ability to direct our own evolution. We are responsible for creating heaven on earth. I think if you look behind that, you're going to find that theological concept big. And since we are now gods, because there is no God of the universe, we are gods, and we're going to direct this, we're going to do this, and so forth, I think that's all part of the whole scheme of things.
And throw in the psychology, too. They also have an overall optimistic view of human nature, which is one of the most dangerous things. You know, Washington would say government's like fire, a cruel servant, a terrible master. So don't trust it, you know, because he's got this perspective of psychology. You know, the bottom line, worldviews really matter. Your perspective of man, his anthropology or theology really makes a difference. And if you don't got the right worldview foundation, you're going to wind up tyrannized. You're going to wind up in big trouble. Ideas have consequences.
That's true. I agree. This is what we're teaching our young people at the summit. And hopefully if your audience has, 16, 17, 18-year-olds thinking of going to college, they need about a 2-week program right here. It'll at least help us get the young people's feet on the ground.
And I recommend that program, my friends. The Summit program's been going for 45 years. It's tested, tried, and true. And you need to use that for your young folks. Before you send them out of the house, before you get them into college, they've got to go through a program like Summit. I recommend Summit. It's the very best out there right now. And I would recommend it. Also, folks, remember, Dr. David Noble will be speaking at our conference coming up here in June. So you want to visit with Dr. Noble, you can drop by our family conference coming this June, 14th through 16th, 2007. And Dr. Noble, we'll look forward to you keynoting at our conference.
I'm looking forward to it, Kevin. I am thankful for all the work you're doing, too, and you're having a great influence.
And, folks, for more information, check out the Summit program right now at summit.org on the web. Again, that's summit.org. And get your young folks signed up this summer for the Summit program. Thank you so much, Dr. Noble, for joining us on Generations. We appreciate your ministry.
Thank you, Kevin.
And, folks, I want you to remember the conference coming up in June. You need to check it out. We've got keynote speakers, hundreds of workshops, hundreds of vendors bringing lots of curriculum ideas for homeschoolers, supplements for family activities, wonderful, wonderful resources for your family. The Ultimate Family Conference is coming up in June, sponsored by Christian Home Educators of Colorado and Generations with Vision. Folks, check it out on the web. Just go to check.org on the web and you check out our conference. Join 5,000 parents and teens as they're taught by some of the best worldview teachers and homeschool experts, if there can be experts, in the country. Check it out again at check.org, check.org on the web, or call 877-842-CHECK for more information. And you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.